Hello and welcome to the MOAS podcast. In this edition of our podcast, we are exploring the subject of the situation in Yemen by discussing the consequences of the protracted conflict in the country on its society and on its people, as well as highlighting the urgent humanitarian needs of the Yemeni population and their efforts to rebuild their country and overcome the challenges they are facing. To do this, we interviewed Laura Silvia Battaglia, a journalist living between Italy and Sana'a in Yemen. She's worked in Middle East and conflict zones since 2007 and has reported from hostile environments about criminality, human rights issues, trafficking, terrorism, and the arms trade. We asked her some questions about the issue, starting from her connection with Yemen to the challenges and prospects of the country. Firstly, can you please tell us about your connection or link with Yemen? How long have you been focusing on the country?
I moved to Yemen in 2012 after following all the Arab revolutions, so-called Arab Springs, in 2011. And in the first place, it wasn't a professional choice because I was looking for a place where I could study Arabic and staying there and staying focused on the language and trying to find a way to speak with people around me. So the first place, it wasn't a professional choice. But obviously, after a few months of 2012, I started working there as a journalist, just the time to understand the culture and the place where I was living in. And after that, Yemen basically became my second home. It's a magnificent and beautiful country with a lot of lovely people, and I did a lot of work and studying there, and I really enjoy this kind of not stressful life, very simple life that goes with the sun and the moon and with no electricity at all in the night, and something absolutely different than the life I lived in Europe, and I enjoyed that very much, despite all the difficulties and the problem you can face as a woman that lives there alone. But I can say that I never felt in danger, and I always find people around me very good with me, and very human. My ties with Yemen became more deep when I also established a family in Yemen. So basically, Yemen is now really my second home. And of course, as you can imagine, when the war started, it was very painful because I was still there, and I realized that I had to leave the country, and it was very painful to going back to Yemen three times during the war and realizing that the war really changes everything.
You have been present in Yemen both before and during the war. Can you give us an insight into the effects of the conflict on the country, on its essential services and on its people, from your experience?
The effects of the conflict in the country are really, really strong. And speaking in terms of numbers, we can say that on a number of population of around 29 million, the war caused 10,000 dead and more than 53,000 people wounded and more than 2 million of people displaced, not mentioning the fact that 17 million are in short of food and 8 million and more are at risk of starvation. So this is just in numbers, but you can see numbers is something really very, very, very also difficult to find another humanitarian crisis nowadays, like the Yemen's humanitarian crisis. And there are many reasons why this is happening. First of all, the fact that the country was poor before the revolution and before the war. So everything went worse and worse in the years. And actually, the effects on the people are, like in every war, absolutely painful. We have civilians who try to stay in the middle and not participating in fights and battles, that they are trapped into this situation, and most of the time they became displaced. Especially people who are refugees, for example, from Somalia or from Ethiopia, and they are a lot in Yemen. Plus the fact that the society became a battleground for many militias, became more politicized, and everything, the religion, was politicized by all the sides, and actually the country is divided in two countries with two so-called governments. And people, for example, families that have part of the family in the south and another part of the family in the north, they are absolutely separated by this situation, and they struggle a lot. And more of that, we can say that Yemenis, they feel absolutely forgotten by the international community. They feel attacked, the people of the north, by the Saudis. People of the south, they feel that the people of the north are betraying them, and vice versa. It's a kind of battleground everywhere, starting from the families. It's something that we never saw before. So the situation is absolutely difficult, and all Yemenis are looking forward to the end.
Let's explore the combination of war and COVID-19 in a country such as Yemen. What have been the new challenges that the country and people have faced, and what are the possible developments of the situation this year?
When COVID-19 started spreading all over the world, especially in Europe after the first steps of the pandemic happened in China. Yemenis at the beginning didn't realize that COVID could come to Yemen. First, because Yemen is isolated, so they thought that COVID-19 will never come to us. And plus, some preachers started saying that this illness is illness of infidels that comes to countries who are countries that don't believe in God, like China, that is communist and doesn't come to Yemen because it's the source of Islam and everything. And also they start saying that it's a curse for Europeans because their society are secularized, and there's no good healthcare, etc. Of course, we are talking about extremists, and some of Yemenis, they believe in that, but just because they have the fear that another illness will come to Yemen, and in fact arrived at the end. What happened was at the beginning that the authorities gave them the responsibility to foreigners, starting saying that the first case in the south was a guy who was working on an Emirates ship, and another one said that the government on the north said that the first COVID patient was a Somali refugee. And so they start saying that the responsibility comes from foreigners and from migrants. And that's something we see also all over the places in Europe or in US, that the first responsibility is given to foreigners. But this all the story, all the pandemics. And a part of that, what happened with COVID-19 is that after the first steps, people started being scared because spread a lot immediately, and a lot of young men around, adult but young, around 30 years old, 40 years old, they were dead. COVID-19 basically is not a big issue at the end in Yemen, if we think about the fact that cholera, diphtheria and other kind of illnesses and are stronger than COVID-19, and people, they can't distinguish a fever from COVID-19 and the symptoms from other fevers that brings death. Actually, what happened is that a lot of doctors at the beginning, they didn't want to go to hospitals because they felt completely abandoned. They don't have any tool to face COVID-19. And then after a couple of months, some supplies arrived, especially in the south, and then something was about good to happen. So actually, it's still a problem in Yemen, but we don't have even the numbers, the real numbers of the infections and the real numbers of the patients and the real numbers of the people who died because of COVID-19.
As we know, malnutrition is one of the worst consequences of the war and a devastating plight for the country. Can you tell us more about this dramatic issue that affects a substantial amount of the population, and in what ways, who's more affected and why?
Malnutrition is one of the worst consequences of the war, but it's something that Yemen knew before. This is important to say. Especially in the governorates of the north, like the governorate of Hadja, which is between Sana'a and Saada. There are so many villages, people are displaced there, they don't have normal access to food. Some of them, they don't have cars, they can't refuel their cars to go in a bigger village, the closest to their village. And what happened is, since years, that women, they give birth to children who are malnourished because they, during the pregnancy, they don't eat. And also there is a cultural issue that the women in this area, they serve during the lunch or the dinner before all the male, then the children, and then they eat, even though they are pregnant. This is important to address because everyone thinks that the malnutrition is a 100% consequence of the war, which is not, but of course war made things worse and worse. Malnutrition is absolutely a painful consequence of the war. Honestly, I can say that I'm a witness of the death of a child in front of me in the hospital of Hodeida. It was 2016, and the child was 3 years old, and he looked like a child of 3 months, and he died despite all the help that the nurses and the doctors tried to give him. And it was absolutely, for me, unbelievable, thinking somebody can die for anger in 2016, while our supermarkets are plenty of food. It's a shame, honestly, it's a shame.
To conclude on a more hopeful note, what about local Yemeni communities? Can you tell us about their resilience and what they're doing in particular to overcome the difficulties they are facing? Things that are perhaps not often reported on in the usual news cycle.
Despite the war, Yemeni people are trying to struggle and find a way out of this war in their own way. What is interesting to say is that Yemenis are not waiting for international help. They they think they are forgotten, and they are trying internal ways, apart of the politics, of course, I'm talking about a life to find a way out. In the last years, we saw some reports about malnutrition and the war, but very, very few stories about the resilience of Yemeni people. There are so many. There are young activists, male and female. They're doing what they can, trying to open radios, establish activities, doing exhibitions of paintings. This is more in the south, realizing movies. There are some musicians of the last orchestra of Yemen that, despite the presence of militias, they try to open an academy of music in Sana'a, even though they know that music is not liked by militias, so they are risking their lives. There are some journalists, for example, in the south, that are trying to collect the stories of people who are kidnapped in the night by masked men, and the families are they have to pay to release their relatives. And this is a story very similar to what happened in Iraq, in Baghdad, in 2006, and gives us the perception that justice in Yemen actually has not a place. And this is very, very important to say, because after, when the war will end, all the social environment should be reconstructed, starting from the people that actually, even though they're not part of parties or they don't have any power in this sense, they are trying to build another Yemen.
We are very grateful to Laura for her fantastic insights on the challenging situation in Yemen and the prospects of the Yemeni people, and providing an alternative view to a lot of what is seen in the media. The humanitarian situation in Yemen continues to be a major priority to Maas's operations. Through collaboration with our partners, Maas is working hard to alleviate the suffering of the population in Yemen for our shipments of nutritional supplements and medical supplies to the country. If you are interested in the work of Maas and our partners, please follow us on social media, sign up to our newsletter, and share our content. You can also reach out to us anytime via info@maas.eu. If you want to support our operations, please give what you can at www.maas.eu/donate.